When I was young, and I used to go to church, there used to be a deacon at the church used to get up at the time that he would take up the collection, and he would always say, "Now we come to the part of the service where we all can play a part." I'm going to say, "Now we're at the part of the service where we all can take a part. My part is going to be speaking, and your part is going to be staying awake until I finish." It's good to see everyone here this morning. I'm going to speak to you for a few minutes from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 11. That has been read in your hearing this morning. That will be my theme-based scripture. What I want to talk about is having contentment and being content. There was a tale of a king who suffered from a painful ailment. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm supposed to keep this on. There we go. There was a tale of a king who suffered from a painful ailment, and his counselors advised him of the only cure: to find a contented man, get his shirt, and wear it night and day. So the king sent messengers to find such a man with orders to bring back his shirt. After months of searching this kingdom, they returned empty-handed. "Did you find a contented man in all my realm?" asked the king. "Yes, O king, we found only one in all thy realm," they replied. "Then why did you not bring back his shirt?" the king demanded. "Master, the man had no shirt." The point of the story is much like today. It is rare that we find anyone who is truly content with his or her condition in life. Yet it is something we all desperately want and need. So what does it mean to be content? One accepted definition is being mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. Another definition is being satisfied with what we have, who we are, and where we're going. However, contentment always seems not to last very long. One example of this is seen in Exodus chapters 15 and 16. The children of Israel, having seen the power of God bringing them out of Egypt, was very happy and content. They sang songs to the Lord and praised him for what he had done. Then in only 3 days, their contentment was lost because of thirst. How soon they forgot all of what God had just done. Now note here, the greatest joys and hopes are soon turned into greatest griefs and fears with those that live by sense only and not by faith. And we got 5 senses that we use daily: the sight, the hearing, the taste, the smell, and the touch. You ever notice how people that don't hear, that are what we call them, mute, I think. Oh, mute is when you can't speak. Okay, deaf, I'm sorry. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay. But only those that have faith go through life even though they have a disability. And it don't seem to bother them. But those that don't, they grumble. People that don't have sight, same way. Some of them, they got faith, they can go through life. And they seem to be okay. I mean, yes, we know they have a disability, but those that live
lived by only the senses, it never happened. Always complaining. And many times, people don't want to be around. If you take a walk through a convalescent home, you can experience that. You can see that. Upon this occasion, though, God came upon terms with them and plainly told them in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. In a word, God expected their obedience. What else did they have to give him anyway? I mean, because he was giving them everything. He brought them out of bondage. They didn't have anything else to give him. Their obedience could look, with their obedience, they could look forward to being kept safe, happy, and healthy. Yet again, in the time of about 1 month, their faith in God was tested with hunger, and all contentment was lost. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, they remembered only the good times when they sat by pots of meat and ate bread to the full. They forgot how they prayed to the Lord for deliverance, and even still, all of which the Lord has already done for them. You know, we can see people in our everyday walk, and they can ask you for help or ask you for anything, and you can do stuff for them. Sometimes it's never enough, but you do stuff for them. And how soon they forget. Because if you go back to them and ask them, can you help me do something? Oh, I ain't got time. Then I see me later. I'll get back to you. Human nature. Because God blesses us with so many absolutely necessary and extremely important things, and even those things that we desire that are material, we can sometimes lose sight on what is truly important and necessary. I'm reminded of a story I once heard of a man that prayed to God to get this car that he wanted. And he kept saying if he got this car, he could bring people to church and he would be coming to church every Sunday and he could do so many great things for the Lord. And the Lord opened up an opportunity for him to get a car, but it wasn't the one that he wanted. So he didn't do all the things that he thought that he could do had he got the one that he wanted. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Basically, Jesus is telling us to be content with what we have. He has given us a direct command not to worry about the things of this world. He that guards against the evils we are exposed to will supply us with the good things we are in need of. If he had been pleased to kill us, to starve us, he would not so often have given his angels a charge concerning us to keep us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I want to reflect back just for a moment on what I ended up with Sunday school this morning, that remember what I said about if you be at a place and you see a crowd running towards you, what you gonna do? You gonna take off and run too. That's the kind of world we live in, and that's what we're up against every day, because we want to be like everybody else. We want to fit in. But here, we are seeing, being told that we don't have to be like everybody else. But it seems so hard to go against that grain, to be different, and to stand up for Christ. From these words of Jesus, we can reason that a lack of contentment is sin and unbecoming of Christians. It puts us in the same category as those who do not know God. They continue to seek out the more of the things of this world, never content with their lot in life. This is our sinful human condition. We are never satisfied with any quantity. The man who has a little wants a lot. The man who has a lot wants more. This is the way the world is. But we know differently. But never does anything satisfy. Things will fade. The advertisers want you to believe otherwise. The advertising in our society is designed to make you jealous of what others have, or to create discontentment. To be content as believers, we must resist the temptation to become overly attached to the things of this world. Now, as I was doing this lesson, one thought came to my mind. Okay, my mom used to teach me, don't take nothing that don't belong to you. Keep your hands off of things. If you want something, you work for it. And if you don't have enough money, you save up until you can get it. And I went by that philosophy. But we run into the thing of seeing what somebody else got. You know, men and women, y'all women, oh, child, it looks so nice. Where you get that from? And guys, we just as bad. Hey, man, that look pretty cool. You know, I like that. Where you get that from? And that's a part of life, because they didn't just make one thing and stop. So they made it for other people to get what, you know, you see something you like, you work for it and you get it. But sometimes we can go to the extreme. Whatever Tom got, I got to get a little bit better. Whatever Jerry got, I got to outdo him. Because what the world say, you only get one chance in life, is you got to get gusto or something to that effect. So I'm not in it unless I'm going to win it. And I got to outdo everybody. That's not going to work. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not. Can you read my own writing? I will not fear. Thank you. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Covetousness, an over-eager desire of the wealth of this world, envying those who have more than we. In order to combat this sin, we must be satisfied and pleased with such things as we have. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have the opportunity to get better. But by the same token, you have to go about it the right way. You don't steal. You don't do anything crooked to get it. You get it honestly, and you work for it, and the Lord will bless you with it. And a lot of things we want, truly we don't need, but he still blesses us with it anyway. Past things cannot be recalled, and future things are only in the hands of God. What God gives us from day to day, we must be content with, even if it falls short of what we have enjoyed beforehand, or if it does not come up to our expectations for the future. We must bring our minds to our present condition, and this is the sure way to contentment. And those who cannot do it would not be content. Even if God should raise their condition of their minds, for the mind would raise with the condition. Remember, if God blesses us with more, then we're going to want more. Because he who has little wants a lot, and he who has a lot wants more. Our sinful human condition, we're never satisfied. We can get a nice day, 85 degrees, sunshine, beautiful day. Give us some money that we're going to complain. It can be a drought. We don't have no rain. Crops doing bad. Get a week of rain. God, I wish it stopped raining. Everything is for the good that God gives us. We just don't see it at the time. But we have to trust in the Lord, believe in him, because he said he would never leave us, never forsake us. And some of you may be old enough like me that know, as old, I used to hear older people say, he may not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. And I have found that to be true. Now, from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Godliness is itself great gain. It is profitable to all things. And wherever there is true godliness, there will be contentment. When we come into the world, God provided for us. We have been fed all our lives long, even unto this day. And when we depart from this life, we cannot be poor than when we came in. Therefore, we should trust in God for the remaining part of our pilgrimage. A shroud, a coffin, and a grave are all that the richest man in the world can have with all his wealth. What then shall we conclude? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Trust in God in everything, even if we are shirtless. This will lead to a life of contentment. And may God bless you. I hope that something that was said this morning will help you to draw closer to God. He has a plan to bring you closer to him, and it involves you hearing his word, believing his word, repenting, confessing his word, confessing that Jesus is his son, being baptized, and continuing steadfast in his doctrine. To me, I have learned all of the other five are pretty easy. But being living steadfast, that is the true test. Because, as some people say, that's when the rubber meets the road. You have to practice what you preach. You don't have to put on a show. You can fool men, but you can't fool God. If anyone here that does not know that God is their personal Savior, you have an opportunity to come forward and receive Him. If you do know this, but you have fallen short, which we all have done from time to time, you have the opportunity to come forth and ask for prayers in your behalf, and we will pray for you. The lesson is yours. I pray that you continue to stay steadfast in the Lord's teaching.